and trust you are all well and rejoicing in what a new year brings to us. It's a new year, but the challenge for us remains the same. There's nothing new about what happened last year, probably, apart from maybe a few events in your life, and there's a lot of it will be the same. You roll out of bed, some roll on the floor, some stand up, some regret getting out of bed. But the reality is, it's a new year, but the challenge remains. Over the break, as I tend to do fits and starts, I have a garage at home, and there's a lot of very useful items in that garage. There's also a lot of stuff that we've collected. And it's not only I, Stella and I, that collect this stuff. Our children collect stuff. And one of the things I focused on particularly is the plethora of shoes that we had, taking up two levels of shelving in our garage. And I looked at these shoes, and I realised a lot of them were mine. Who owns all these shoes? Who owns the rest of the shoes? So we set about wheeling the wheelie bin around, and we started discarding things. There were some things to retain, some things to lose, and there were some precious memories in amongst all of those other things. And that's what I want to focus on this morning as we read Colossians. What are the things that are to be retained? What are the things that need to be discarded and urgently? And what are the things that we need to remember and rejoice in? So as we turn to Colossians chapter 3, let's read a few verses. From chapter 3 verse 1 it says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here then is not Jew, not Greek or Jew, or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ in all and all in all." Let's give thanks. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy for us. We thank you that these words on a page in your holy text speaks of hope, but also confronts us in some of those things that maybe we need to rid ourselves of. So, Father, we pray and thank you for the hope that you've given to us in Christ, for those of us here who have put our trust in Jesus' precious name. So this morning we pray, Father, that you open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to those things that are contrary to your word, and praise you for those things that we do that lines up with your holy calling on our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the first part of this text, we see things that need to be retained. We are reminded to be aware of our foundation. We have been raised with Christ. We are his. We belong to him. Paul is discussing our spiritual position. Sometimes we don't feel that way. Sometimes when life envelopes us and we're in distress, we wonder where God is. God is always where he always has been. And he is a God that is acquainted with us. He is a God that is personable. He is a God who loves us. He is a God who disciplines us. And he is the one who sent his son to die for our sins on the cross. And in his death, he has been risen. And we in our death, when we put our trust in him, have been risen with him. the hope of eternal hope, the greatest hope that you and I can ever have, to be raised with Jesus Christ. When he died, we die. And we rose with him when he rose. Every person here this morning that have put their trust in Christ should understand that we have risen before him. The hope of eternal glory entrenched fairly and well in our hearts should never be underestimated of why we walk before him. We love him, we adore him, we're risen with his Son, and we have that hope. And it gives us this focus. Seek the things which are above, a verb, continually seek the things. Once you sought him and you didn't stop, you continue to seek those things. And sometimes it's really difficult in the circumstances of life to keep on seeking. Continually seek those things that are above. Set your affections on him. Set your affections on the things above and not the things on this earth. Christmas time is a wonderful time to set your affections on the things of earth. All year, we have eyes for things. I've said it hundreds of times, I'm guilty. If I spent less time looking at tramping videos and the lightest thing that I can possibly buy to aid my backpack and my physique and my age and my tender feet and spent more time in scripture, I may be better off. Maybe that's something that I need to discard. But I enjoy those things. God has given us creation to focus on. When I look at creation, I thank God for what we see. When I think of his church, I thank God that his son is the head of the church and not Daryl or the elders or the leaders. When I think of my relationship with my wife, I say, thank you, Lord. You see, when I focus on the earthly things, I need to give thanks to the one who gave me those things. I need to give thanks continually for the affection that I have for him. It is changing our mindset and our understanding what it means to have affections. They're not just the senses that are being ticked. It's a deliberate attempt to follow Christ and all that he is and all that he's done. If you continually read on from these passages, we need to understand we are to pursue a deeper knowledge of Jesus. A clean and holy life, godly virtues, holiness in our domestic situation, holiness in our social life, an effective prayer life and a fruitful witness, they all go hand in hand. The summary tells us that we need to live like Jesus lived. And we can also go, but he was perfect, I'm not perfect. But just remember, you were raised with Christ. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things below. Live according to his purposes. You see, our heavenly perspective in all things governs our earthly walk. There's no way possible that I believe or understand that if you're not focused your attention on the text that we have in front of us, on the whole biblical principles of living a holy and worshipful life for Jesus Christ, you can ignore that and go on your own and do your own thing. You see, it's not songs. They help us focus. But it's what God trying to convey to us about the beauty of his son that helps us in our earthly walk. You see, it's having a heavenly perspective. We need to remind ourselves where our loving Savior who perished on the cross is. He's at the right hand of the Father. So why wouldn't we want to look to that heavenly place where he is and conform to the pattern of our lives, conform our pattern of our lives to him. We have entered into this new year. I pray that the Lord will help us in our understanding to think about our focus, think about of our attention, think about what Christ has done, think about where we're going and who we will meet and what that will look like. But it's a joyful thing. It shouldn't be an oppressive thing. If it's an oppressive thing and you are nervous, I can say that there's a problem. Then we are to have things we release. As I went through these shoes and other bits and pieces, there's a whole heap of things that were basically useless, and it ended up in the rubbish tip. And eventually that'll be covered over in a landfill. Sorry for the greenies there, but that's what will happen to you. We all do it. I had to discard them because they were useless. There was no use for them anymore. They were worn out. They were rubbish. Long past their use-by date. In our spiritual lives, the same thing is true. As you mature, whether you're young or you're old, you're on a journey. And there are things in our lives that we must let go and get rid of. And when the storms of life come, they just seem to come out. Whether it be aggression, covetousness. I was recently up in Auckland with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, staying at their place on Eastern Beach, and it's one house in front and then the beautiful beach right next door. And the interesting thing, we were there when the storm came. One day it was beautiful and pristine, apart from the shells on the beach. And the next day there was rubbish everywhere. And people were going out and looking at the rubbish and marvelling the power of the storm and how it brought all these trees and junk up on the beach. Some of the beach ended up in my brother-in-law's driveway. Certainly a lot of the water did as it flooded. You see, the storm came and it dumped the trash. It didn't worry about whose house it was, which location. It just dumped the whole lot on the whole beach. You see, that's the problem when we allow rubbish to come into our lives. When the storm comes, the dump happens and we don't know how to do it. And then there's a major clean-up that happens. You see, our focus and our thoughts on heavenly things help us rid ourselves of the rubbish so that we might be able to react in a positive way when these storms happen. Some of you are going through difficult storms. You feel swamped. Your minds may be wandering. Some of the difficult, very difficult situations. Others minor. What does your life look like when things happen? Before I went away, I was looking up some articles on Christian blogs about a particular thing that I'm studying. And I looked up the ethics of Christian relationships. Clicked the button, and right before me were some scenes that didn't belong in a Christian website. Pornographic scenes. My reaction is grabbing the mouse as fast as I could, click off. We have to take some measures to stop that stuff from coming up on our screens here. But you see, those images now are imprinted on my brain. How hard is it to get rid of those images? I didn't deliberately go out to seek that, but it was there. You see, and this is the problem. With God's help, we can rid ourselves of those things. I know that in past days, last year, I had three people come to me that said, and not from this church either, actually other people from other churches, too embarrassed to go to their leaders of their church and asking me to help them. And we set up a system where we could keep each other accountable. You see, this is the junk that gets in our lives. We need to pray. We need to repent. We need to not be carried away with a false doctrine that so readily is available in any circumstance, whether it be in the church or a variety of churches. What the world throws at us through philosophies, vain deceit, the traditions of men. The world will continually throw things at us, wanting us to yield to their perspective on life, whether it be marriage relationships, single relationships, the stuff that gets thrown on TV, the covetousness of our eyes. They want us to submit ourselves to the pattern of this world and not be transformed by the renewing of our minds before a holy God. You see, this is a time that we can discard these things. We need to understand that the world makes foolish demands of us, but God makes a holy demand from us, that we live according to the pattern that He has set before us. He wants us to turn away from our fleshly understanding, our fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil desires, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying. And we go, oh man, that's too hard. Look at all the trouble we have. I am reminded every time I read a list of this in Deuteronomy 18. If you go back there, you will see the blessings for obedience and the cursings for disobedience. And it gives us an insight in the law of proportion how wicked man is and why we need a Saviour and why we need to love to Him and turn our affection towards Him. 14 verses, blessings for obedience, and then 54 curses for disobedience. What does that tell us about man's heart? That's why we need to turn our affection to our Heavenly Father. If these things are besetting you in any of these areas of life, it needs to be junked. It needs to be taken out into the wheelie bin. Not recycled. Not put in the green waste bin. But in the red lid bin, if you're the wheelie bin company. And it needs to close. And it needs to get junked. And turn it away from our lives. And yes, it's hard. Because once something is imprinted on your brain, it is difficult to throw away. But it is with God's help we have been raised with Him. Our hope and our trust is in Him, not on what we see in this earth. You see, what that tells me, it tells me that God, in His infinite wisdom, is more interested in your character of conduct than what you can do. But we have attention because He wants us to do things. And He wants to do it not for our glory, but for His. And that is really difficult. Because we want to encourage each other even more as you see the day approaching. But we need to live according to His will for His glory. There's a fine balance in that, and it can tip either way. And I hope and pray as we start out this new year that all we do, as best as possible, even though we sing that song, I surrender all. Well, I've got to tell you, friends, as your pastor, I don't surrender all. I find that really difficult. And I suggest that you do as well. Because we are flesh and blood. We are not God. But with His help, we can overcome. Our desires need to be set on the things above, not on fleshly appetites. We need to starve them. We need to enjoy life, but have no room for lust. We need to love God and have no room for evil. We need to flourish in the things of God and put aside all those things that stop us. We need to live by the fruit of the Spirit, which is what's been prayed for this morning. We need to confess our sins so that sin doesn't gain that foothold in our lives, and we need to live for Him. And then we remember some things. As I was cleaning out some of the gear in the garage, I come across these little treasures, you see, from time to time over the years, and I haven't thrown a lot of this stuff out. My kids would come home from school and they've done a painting for Stella or I or myself, or they've written a nice little Father's Day card or a little note, or created some artwork that I'm still trying to work out what it is. I loved it. I just don't know what it is. It doesn't stop me from enjoying it. And they're things to treasure. And quite often, I don't know about you, if you clean out something and you start to go through a whole heap of photos or whatever, the cleaning stops. Anyone had that experience? And you see, I have a chair in my garage. And the box was in front of me. And then I stopped. Oh, have a look at this. Have a look at that. What turned out to be a half an hour exercise ended up a 2 hour exercise. Because the things that I was looking at, they were treasures to my heart. They were of days gone past when my children were little and now they're big. When they were cute. And now they're beautiful. Ah, see? Cleanse yourself from your sins, brothers and sisters. And I remember there has been a death for my sin. I remember there has been a deposit on my behalf in that death. I remember there was a dream. I remember that there was a resurrection. I remember that I'm part of that. And do you know what? If you believe in Jesus Christ today, you are part of that. But if you don't believe in Jesus, all you have is a vision of who Jesus is, your understanding. You see, my God sent his Son. My God said he loved humanity so much, all that he created, that he would send his Son. I remember that. My God said that I'm going to punish him on a cross. I remember that. My God said that I am going to raise him again. And Jesus himself said, I am going to raise in 3 days. I remember that. And I remember through that, that I have a hope of eternity. The verses that I've shared from this pulpit constantly over the last few weeks when we've been here. 1 John chapter 5. Imprint them on your brain. 11 and 12. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in who? In his Son. He who has the Son has. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Friends, if you don't understand who Jesus is, if you're here today, please, I beg of you to seek him with all that you have. Pursue him. Because your eternal destiny is away from him. You're still dead in your trespass. I remember there has been a death. I remember there has been a resurrection. I remember that there has been a deposit of the Holy Spirit who lives inside me and drives me and convicts me of my sin, and I get those when I've gathered. But I also remember that I can pray and ask for forgiveness. You see, it's not a hopeless situation. I also remember that my mortal body could die before Jesus comes back. I like that thought of Jesus coming back. But I also know, should that happen, that I have the hope of eternity in my heart. In my heart, I've only got one. In my heart. And I will be raised with him. And I dream of that day. The best is not here. The best car is not here. The best 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 is not here. It is in heaven. He is the best. He is the one that's altogether lovely. I remember that he is the one that will take me home and judge me according to what I have done. It's a lot to take in, to understand that Jesus in some way imparts the divine nature of his Holy Spirit into us. It is a lot to take in that we can overcome. It is a lot to take in that at the beginning of a new year we look back and remember. We look to now. And we look to the future. It's a lot to take in. It is an opportunity, though, to renew our walk with the Lord. It is an opportunity to say, yes, I need to repent. It is an opportunity to say, I need forgiveness. It is an opportunity, as Robin has led us before, to restore relationships. It is an opportunity to be the person that God wants you to be and not perform so that others will perceive that you're the person that God wants you to be. That's a mouthful, but you get the difference. More interested in character than outcomes. You see, we all want the best. We want the best music team. We want a pumper. We all want the best church. You know how you get the best church? That when God's people are the best people before Him. That's how you have the best church. So we look back, we look to the now, and we remember. What in your life are the things that need to be retained? What are the things that need to be released? Or as we want to be completely blunt, what are the sins that you need to confess? And what are the things that we need to remember? Take a trip down that memory lane when you first got saved. Oh, I remember like it was yesterday. I remember that day, the joy, the tears. When Stella and I said yes to Jesus. I remember that day like it was yesterday. I live that day. I don't live it enough. Because in my ignorance I said yes to Jesus. It didn't take much. It just meant saying yes. And then saying yes to Him on a daily basis. What can I do today, Lord, that will please You? Not for my salvation, but that brings You glory. Oh, I fall short. I find it hard. I find it really hard. But we carry on because we love Him. What changes will you make? What things will you set aside? And I pray that our church, that's you and me, brings glory to God in all we do. Not because we're the best at every program, but the way that we live and the way that we talk about Him and adore Him and love Him. May His glory abound in our place. Now and forever. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we have been raised with Your Son, for those of us that believe in Christ. I pray, Father, that as we go through life, we fall short. But we also know that You forgive us, for those of us that repent of our sin. So even in that, Father, we say thank You for the opportunity to not carry that junk further than it needs to go. We also know that we're here to give support to people who may be doing it tough, to show Your glory, to show Your love, to show Your compassion and empathy. We also know, Father, that we only have got to read Your text, Your holy word, Your perfect word, and say thank You for the message, for all Your humanity that offers hope to those who are perishing, and hope for those that live according to the gospel of Christ. So that, to that end, Father, we say thank You. We want to adore You and love You with every fibre and being that we have. In Your Son's precious and worthy name, we give You thanks. Amen. Thank you, Robin.